which mothers for which of the 12 tribes.
Okay, so today's shear is a special one because one of my rebbeim, very sadly yesterday, just passed away. His name was Rav Chaim Cohen. You might have heard him as a Chalban.
I saw,
might have seen it on the news.
I saw it on
Yeshiva World. World News. So for those who don't know, this is a picture of him. The only one that actually came out well on the Makoros. That's what he looked like. Very normal guy. And he's called a Chalban because he actually was a cheesemaker. He worked in a dairy factory forever. He's 84, he just passed away 84. And he worked in a cheese factory. Like, he was a real dairy man, and you see, like, he looks very normal, like a regular, like, older Israeli person. But about 10 years ago, it became revealed that he was actually one of the biggest mikubalim on the planet. And he was sort of, like, hiding as a dairy farmer for like, 75 years. But the MS, he spent so much of his life learning, from, like, the age of, like, 6, learning Kabbalah with, like, a small chabura of, like, the greatest hidden Kabbalists you don't know about, we don't know about. And he was part of a group of, like, everyone had, like, a job. Like, there was, like, the sandlar, and there was the chalban, the milkman. And about 10 or 12 years ago, he became, like, revealed. And in those 12 years, 20 svarim have been printed from him. Like, I have, like, 12 of them. This is what, if you ever see Sefer, it looks like this, Tal HaChaim. So you've seen it before a little bit. So that's just been writing and writing and writing and writing. It's been like a mamash, like a wellspring, because every word he says is like based on so much, and it's so incredible. His Torah is this incredible combination of like Kabbalah, which you can understand, because he basically, the way I like to express everything that Chalban ever said is that he basically shows you the world and like just pulls off like the front cover so you can see what's right below the surface. He shows you the depth within every single thing. And so I spent the past few years learning from him. I never, unfortunately, had the chance to meet him, which makes it even harder. They just passed away yesterday, because I was going to go to Israel in 2 weeks and hopefully go. He was Rebbe in Ramat HaSharon, which is like near Tel Aviv area. But his name is Rav Chaim Cohen. His name is Rav Chaim Cohen. So that's a little about who he was. He showed me a lot, and hopefully now, you know, they say a lot of times people pass away, like you learn a lot about them. So hopefully the world will now see who he was a little more and begin to learn his Sfarim, because the way that he took the Torah and the way that he took what was going on in the world and showed everything, how like he's looking at Israel and saying like, you need to see the world differently today. Like, he was a madrich for much of the Datilumi community. The way that he explained Rav Kook's writings and the way that he expressed everything. So it was an enormous loss that most people don't know what we lost. But, so, today we're going to learn something from him. We're going to learn about the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash isn't just on Tisha B'Av that we don't have it, but we don't have it today. And we're going to learn a little bit about what it means, and then understanding what it means to be a Rebbe. So, this was the front cover. But then the printer had fun, and now it's a very important box, but you can't see what it is. You have to imagine a little bit. Here, you guys. Okay, if I were to ask you guys a question, right? Look up, don't look down. Thank you. What are the ways in Tanakh that the Beis HaMikdash, or Har HaBayis, was referred to? What do you know? And by whom? We'll stick with Chumash even. What are the ways that the basin, the Makom and Mikdash, was referred to? Har HaMoriah, that's one. Who said that? Or Har Hashem Yireh Avram. Okay, that's one. Har. What else? Makom, a place, okay. What else? Well, maybe, I'm saying, but you gotta think. You know, if you look down, you're not thinking. Har, okay, you got it. But what else? I'll give you a hint. The next one was Yaakov. Beis Elokim, right? So now we have Har and we have Bias. There's one more, which is Medr, so it's not as clear. When Yitzchak was going to the field, there are those that explain that he was actually in the Makom HaMikdash. Some say Gan Eden, some say the Makom HaMikdash. So there are, what?
So Sadeh.
So three are. You have Har, Sadeh, and Bayit. Now you can look at the top of the page. Big letters, Har, Sadeh, and Bayit. Good. Makom is a place, but it's Makom HaMikdash. The Makom of Makom. It means, right, but that's more of a pronoun. But it's also right. So by the Avos, the Makom HaMikdash is referred to as Har, Sadeh, and Bayit. And each one represents in a fundamental understanding of what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. Right? When do you go up on a mountain? On a hike, okay. Why? It's fun to travel, get up there. But once you're up there, what are you doing up there?
You see the view.
You see the view, right? Every time you leave Camp Misora, there's like 5 minutes of like the stunning, you're way on top, and you see like everything. So a har is about vision. It's about seeing. It's about clarity. It's about seeing far. One of the nekudos of the Beis HaMikdash was you go there, and it's clear, right? The Choshen was able to tell you what your tafkid in life was. Right? One of the biggest struggles we have as you begin growing as a Jew is like, what am I supposed to be doing in the world? You're trying to figure yourself out. You're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, and eventually, like, what am I doing here? But you can go to the Beis HaMikdash and gain clarity in your purpose. So one of the difficulties of being a Jew in the modern world is like, you might get sucked into not the Jewish part of it, and to remain focused on the purpose of the tachlis. When you get up on top of the mountain, you're able to look around and you can see clearly. Part of the purpose of Har, of Beis HaMikdash, is clarity. Right? Next, Sadeh. Now this is a big, big, big yisod, and because we're learning from some Chalban, we're going to learn a little bit of the deeper things in the world, in Torah. Have you guys ever heard of Beir Nitzotzos? Have you heard of Nitzotzos? Sparks, right now it's this new organization. So what does it mean? What does it mean to lift the sparks? Basically, when Hashem created the world, He created it in such a way that the sparks of Kedusha, right, He put into a Kli, and then the Kli shattered, and Shvira Sakelim. And basically, in a simple way of saying it, the whole world has these sparks of Kedusha in them, and we need to sort of raise them up. We have to go find them, we need to go lift them up, right? That's part of why Chabad Shlichim go to every single corner of the world to find every single Jew, because they have to raise the sparks everywhere and in every one. And that's called Beir Nitzotzos. When you eat a hamburger, if you eat it the right way, you're lifting the sparks. Right? You're taking a burger, and you're doing Beir Nitzotzos. You're sifting through the meat, the lettuce, and the tomatoes, and you're pulling out the holiness. Yes?
I think it's the Arizal that says that, like, when you make a bracha on the food, you're, like, redeeming the neshama, whoever's, like, reincarnated into that food.
Into that food. Wow, okay. So I don't know that much, but that's pretty cool.
I think,
like, the Gilgulim?
Yeah. I don't think burgers have Gilgulim.
No,
okay, now
like,
you know.
The cow.
If
you eat like a behemoth, so like you come back as like a piece of burger.
Yeah. Come back as a cow. That's amazing. Okay, yeah. So, right, so, but that's what it's called, Beir Nitzotzos. That's true with everything. That's true with sitting on a chair. If you sit on a chair like a mensch, like a Jew, you're raising up the Kedusha, basically using it for the right way. That's called Beir Nitzotzos. And it's explained as the avod of working in the field. When you're plowing a field, or when you're harvesting from a field, there's a lot of dirt and a lot of rocks. And you need to basically plant, and you have to work the land to get the good from the bad. When you pick potatoes, if you do leket in Israel, you pick beets. Stick your hand into the mud, you pull out a beet.
And carrots.
You eat carrots. I've done beets, I did peaches, and potatoes. Potatoes are much more fun with your brothers, because you kill each other the whole time. Like, you fill up this bucket, basically, and then you have to walk with the bucket. It's like the huge bucket. But when you're holding the bucket of potatoes, so your hands are compromised and you can't defend yourself. And it was like, I had to do this, all of our shirts were off, and like, whew, a lot of welts after that. That's when I went with my in-laws' family, it was much calmer. That's how they roll.
I can imagine climbing.
What? Yeah, exactly. And also beets stain, so maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, so we didn't do the beets, just potatoes. But that's Sadeh. And the if you think about what actually happened in the Mikdash, so we took animals, the most gashmi thing, like a behemah mamish, and we used it for Avodas Hashem. We shechted it. So now you have Sadeh. One of the avodas of the Beis Mikdash was this avoda of Ber Nitzotzos, of raising the sparks. You can like spend a whole day thinking about in which place in your life you're actually doing this. That's two. Number three, what's the third thing we said? Bias. Harsed and bias. The third aspect of the Beis Hamikdash was that it's just where Hashem lived. Right? When you think of home, there's a different, everyone's got a different answer to this. When you think of home, what do you think of? If one word.
Serenity.
Serenity. Good. What else?
You like a phrase, peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Very similar to serenity. Okay, good.
Comfortable.
Mints?
Belonging,
comfort, yeah.
Warmth.
Zach? No words. Bring it in. Ariane, what do you say? What?
She's really from.
So from. But home is the place where like you're the most, I think, like calm. There's the most peace, the most restful. Because I'm where I am. This is the most I belong in the world, is in my house. Like, no one is expecting or judging or anything. I'm just here. And it's calm. It's supposed to be the most restful place. I'm going home. I'm going to go rest. Especially the day after camp. Like, there's no more restful moment in the world. And you breathe in your house smell, and you lie on the couch. That's it. Like, that's the most home life gets. So that's what the Beis Hamikdash was. Not just for Hashem, but also for us. When we would go to the Mikdash, right? You go to the Mikdash, and like we explained by heart, you gain the sense of clarity. You gain the sense of pashtus, of tachlis. The Beis Hamikdash was the point of the whole world. And you get there, and I'll tell you something interesting. The Beis Hamikdash is called Zos Menuchasi. But there's no place in the world that was busier than the Beis Hamikdash. You're moving every second. The fire never went out ever. Right? The Havdil, of course, but it's like Times Square. The lights never go off. It was the most busy place in the world. How is it called the most restful place in the world? Because rest is not just about sleeping. It's about doing what you're made for. Right? I like to always give this advice, and this is good advice, so you should remember this. What should you do in life? Like, what should your job be? The thing which, when you do it, instead of making you more tired, it makes you more alive. If you can get that, you've won. Remember that. Right? You can sleep 3 hours a night but be more awake than anybody else because everything you're doing while you're awake is, gives you more and more and more chiyus. Beis Hamikdash was that place. No matter how much everyone was moving, because they were so tuned in to the tachlis of life, the purpose of life, Beis Hamikdash was Avodas Hashem, it was called Zos Menachasi, the most restful place on earth. Because of tachlis. And the Beis Hamikdash was in the same way Shabbos. Now you understand why Beis Hamikdash and Shabbos are often correlated. Because Shabbos is also about rest and it's about focusing on the tachlis. And so Beis Hamikdash in place, Shabbos in time, what does that equal in a person? A tzaddik. A tzaddik, a great person. Because when you see a tzaddik, a great person, you immediately think tachlis. You think about my purpose. You don't look at a no matter who you are, if you're the most non-firm person in the world, you don't look at a tzaddik and say, like, think about the Yankees. It doesn't have, like, you think, okay, holiness. Like, maybe it's not for me, but holiness. Okay, let me think about, like, the point of the world for a second. The tzaddik and Shabbos and the Mikdash, all three of them remind you of your tachlis, your purpose in the world, your rest. Right, that's where Weinberger says, look at number five, Hol Chabura, this is my notes. Says the Beis Hamikdash was probably the busiest place in the whole world. H Tumid, okay, it was never off. But this is, and look at the bold phrase. This is the place where the Hargashas Hasagas Hamatara. You had this feeling in the Beis Hamikdash. It's a very important phrase of feeling your purpose. And that is why there's so much serenity, which is, who's that, Jakey's word? Ezra's word. Because the objective was so clear. And that's Shabbos and that's Sabbath. So now you look. The Beis Hamikdash was a place of all these three things. Har, Sadeh, and Bias. And as you guys just explained, right? Avram was Har, Yitzchak was Sadeh, and Yaakov was Bias. Now, let me ask you a question. Why was the first Beis Hamikdash destroyed?
Three big
Muslims. Big three, which means the people were in a good place or in a bad place. Which Beis HaMikdash was greater? First or the second?
The first.
The first, right? Why? It was nicer. Okay, what else?
Had
more Shechina. Okay, good. What else?
Had the Aron.
Had the Aron. Excellent.
I would say, looking at why it was destroyed, that as like obviously a lot of Hashem, like they assume that we're treating each other with respect, and it was, and for someone's more because I've been on the Malcolm, so it was more done with care.
Right. Okay. Great.
But also like the miracles.
The miracles were all in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Much more in the first. And even more, there was Nevuah. There was no Nevuah already by the second. So, more Shechina, Aron Kodesh, Nevuah. The Beis HaMikdash was much, much, much higher first time. Second Beis HaMikdash, sorry, but the people were very, very low. Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim, horrible. Second Beis HaMikdash, like Jake was saying, pretty shvach. It was down low. But it was with the people. When they, you know, the Gemara says when people saw the second Beis HaMikdash, they were crying if they saw the first one. There was nothing compared to it. And it was so low. But where were the people? Right? Why was it destroyed? How bad is Sinas Chinam? It's pretty bad, but not as bad as murder and adultery and Avodah Zarah. Right? Like, it's not nice. You have to be nice. But the people in this, like, they had a bad trait. They weren't so friendly. But they could have been very Shemayim, going to Davin and going to Vesikin every day. The people were in a solid place. But the Mikdash was in a very, very low place. So it was amongst them. When you go to a mountain, okay, you don't stay up there. Mountain you see long, but life is down below. The first Beis HaMikdash was compared to a har, because it was way, way up, but it wasn't consistent with where the people were down below. Okay, the people were doing their daily life, but they were not even close to the madriga of the Beis HaMikdash. Second one was a sada. Sada is lower than the har, but it's where the people are. So the pagam of the first Beis HaMikdash was the distance, the gap. I say gap in Hebrew, pa'er, right? Pa'ar, the gap was enormous. And the second Beis HaMikdash gap was small, but it was not that high. And if you look at it also, right, what did we say, sada means? Yeah. Bera, right? Bera nitzozen, sifting. What happened historically, and this is a good question, maybe you don't know this, what happened historically during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash to the Jewish people?
Oh, Malchus was holy.
Malchus? Why? What happened to Malchus?
King's always fighting.
He split.
The highest bidders.
Highest bidders. Well, okay, what else began? Different cultures.
Yeah,
Christianity. Yeah. Tzidukim. Okay, the second thing is a time of sifting. Of Beirur, of deciding who is an Orthodox Jew, so to speak. Those words weren't around yet. But we had to sift through everything. Christianity, everything was splitting. Chilukim, chilukim, chilukim. And that's, by the way, why it's not a surprise that Sinas Chinam was rampant in the second Beis HaMikdash. I get to speak to Neuberger a lot, and one of the things he always tells me is, like, one of the hardest decisions when you're looking at different communities and, like, you know, there's Orthodox Jews that are, like, veering away from Orthodoxy. And a lot of rabbis are saying, okay, write them off. One of the hardest things is to be able to say, this is what it means to be a firm Jew, an Orthodox Jew, without hating someone else who's not doing that, who's running away and pulling people with him. It's one of the hardest things, and we lost the ability to balance that. Same as Migdash. We had to say, yeah, if you're a Tzeduki, you're off the camp. If you're following Jesus, okay, you're off the camp, even though he was Jewish, right? It was a Jewish movement in the beginning. And Sinas Chinam was a natural manifestation of writing people off, but we lost control of the bearer, of the bearer process. And the Indian of the third base of Migdash, by the way, is, what is it? It's bias. It's not on a mountain. And it's not in the fields. But it's bias. It's natural. It's where you belong. It's where you're supposed to feel. And it's supposed to be equal. What's supposed to return in the third Beis HaMikdash?
Nevuah.
Okay, what else?
Foreign
Hill. Aron Kodesh is coming back. That's an important question. Aron Kodesh, Nevuah. The third Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be on the highest level, but not on a mountain. It's supposed to be here where we are. Because that's the Indian. It's the gap was too big in the first. The Beis HaMikdash is too low in the second. The third one's going to have the level of the first Beis HaMikdash with the Aron back. But the people as well will be raised up to the level of a bias of a house where you feel natural, it's where you belong. So now you see the Har Sadeh and bias. And just one last point on Derech Avoda. When you look at Harsad and Bias, yeah, what's up?
Is this being recorded?
Why?
Because I have to go to 30.
Yes. Yes. When you learn an idea like this, you also have to realize what it's also a mushel for how you grow. Because basically what happens is like this. Let's say you're in a place in any mida where you're holding in anything, and you're low down in it, right? Whether you're really not getting the chakras at all and it's consistent and nothing's changing, or whether you like have 19 hours of screen time every day or you're trying to change or whatever it is, right? And you're so far, even if like it's going on a diet, you're so far from where you want to be. But right now you've gotten nowhere. The first step to getting somewhere is har. Is getting up to the top of the mountain and seeing clearly. Right? In our days, we don't have the mikdash. We can't just do that. So one of the ways we do it is going to a holy person. When you go to a tzaddik, when you go to your Rebbe, and he reminds you why you're here in the world. He shows you this is really what it's about. That sofeh, that sipu, like the harat sofim, right? You know, harat sofim means what? Mount? Scopus. Scopus means like the sea. But sofeh is the same word as?
North?
No. What does it mean, letzapot? Does anyone know hatikva? Yeah, no. It's basically a shul, right? To hope, to yearn. When you're able to see that, that begins a yearning. So you go to your Rebbe, he says, listen, you haven't been to chakras in 3 months, but you can do it. And he reminds you, like, your goal is to serve Hashem, and this is what Hashem wants from you. And he's going to be proud of you when you make it there. Right? And everyone has stages like this in everything where you're so low. But you get up to the top of the mountain, and you have a clear vision, and that reinvigorates. And the water inside starts boiling. And you got bubbles. And the bubbles come, okay, now I'm going to start working at it. I'm going to get to the field. I'm going to grind. I'm going to start plowing. I'm going to get back. I'm going to make sure someone pulls me out of bed in the morning. Whatever it is, that's the sadeh. And then, once you got this vision, it's clear you've been woken up. You work at it, and then it makes Hashem bias. It belongs as part of you. You no longer have to work on it. It's just, this is what I do. I'm a Jew. I go to chakras. It's part of my personality. This halacha is natural. And that's what all of Judaism is supposed to be bias. It's supposed to be a home. Right? Beis Hamikdash, Hashem, we're supposed to be in His house. That's what it means. A natural, natural feeling of every single halacha is just what I do. It's who I am. There's a great thing. Someone came to Lubavitcher Rebbe and said, like, how horrible is it that Jews like go into a room and they just kiss themselves without thinking about it. And Lubavitcher Rebbe always made schluss on things. He says, like, not how bad is it, but like how beautiful, like, we just do a vodas Hashem without thinking about it. It's like unbelievable. It's so natural. Right? That's bias. So when we're working hard, that's how you grow. Each thing, one at a time, you wake up, get to the mountain, see. Get to the grind, get onto the battlefield, and then make it natural. Now on to the next one. And this, I would say, is what is so important about having a Rebbe. Right? There's a machala in 2019 of people that don't have Rebbeim. Some people are zocha get an Eretz Yisrael, maybe they lose an Eretz Yisrael, they come back to America, they go to YU, they bounce around, tend to Shirim, like it happens a lot, and then they move to the West Side, there's no Rebbe. And especially people don't necessarily go to a shul and connect to the Rav of the shul, bounce around, I'll make a house minion, this minion, that minion, there's no Rebbe. But you have to realize, you need a Rebbe. And having a Rebbe gives you the tzipui, gives you the yearning to serve Hashem. And this one example that I had, that I was supposed to have, is learning from the Chalban. That it's funny to call someone a Rebbe you never even met in your whole life. I never even heard a whole shiur from him, because they're like 2 hours online. So he was my Rebbe because every time I opened a book that he wrote, every page I read, there was a Hargashas Hasagas Hamatara. And listen, all you guys, one day you'll be something and you'll be a Rebbe to somebody. No matter where you are, you'll be a Rebbe to someone. And your goal is to remind them how to feel what your purpose is in the world. Hargashas Hasagas Hamatara. The Rebbe is the base of Migdash in human flesh. And your goal and your opportunity in having a Rebbe is to be reminded of your tachlis in the world. And we should find people, and if you have a Rebbe who's not doing that, So either challenge him and say, new Rebbe, like, why did you remind me today of my goal in the world? Or find somebody else. But that's the Iker Avodah of a Rebbe. It's to remind you of your purpose in the world, to remind you of Avodah Hashem is the most important thing. So I'll end off with just a bracha that the Chaban also, as incredible as he was, he would write, he wrote tefillos at the end of some of his svarim to like turn his sefer into a tefillah. And he writes like this, Avinu Malkeinu, Kasha predascha mimenu, ki predas nafshenu miruchenu. Us leaving you, us separating from you, is like the difficulty of our soul leaving our body. Please, we're begging you, strengthen your love for us. To wake us up, ruach tara tshuva, a spirit of tshuva, ruach ein v'tachanunim, a favor and tachanunim, v'yataru levavos yisrael l'shuv b'tshuva shlema, to return to you, help us return. V'hakir ma'or ha'tor v'osher ha'mitzvos, to see the light of all the mitzvos. L'zaz l'fnei Elohim v'artos ha'chaim, kisi yalanu l'Elohim v'anu l'chal ha'am. So return to the days that we can follow in your ways, Hashem, and be the people that you deserve. May we be zocher to learn from Rabbeinu their mindness of the purpose in the world and to appreciate that which we have, and that Judaism should be something which is natural to us, not something you have to force, not something you have to, you know, make something that's not you. It should be natural. It should feel good. We should get that Beis Hamikdash and to have the Beis Hamikdash in our lives and in our own Rebbeim. Shkoach, guys. Shkoach.